Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Britain Stelly. She's the founder of Creature Courage, the UK's animal phobia specialist. She's helped hundreds of people break free from phobias and anxieties with her creative and unique workshops. Her vast knowledge of the animal kingdom has helped many people exchange fear for fascination for animals usually feared and misunderstood, especially spiders. Welcome to the show, Britain.
Hello, thank you for the lovely introduction.
Oh, my pleasure. Lovely to have you with us. And what a great thing you do. It must be very rewarding.
It is, because very few therapists are able to actually bring someone from a full panic attack to complete freedom in just one day.
Yes.
So it is very rewarding.
Amazing. And I bet people come into you and say, this isn't going to work. You're not going to be able to change me. I've had this for years. My friend said I should come and see you, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have a talk with my clients and say, look, all I need for this to work is for you to be willing. If you're determined and you're at that point where enough is enough and you're ready to hate the fear more than the trigger animal, then I can help you. We can get there. And I do have a 99% success rate with my clients being cured in just one day.
Amazing. So have you managed to kind of work out why people tend to have these phobias and where they come from? It must be a variety of things, I guess.
Well, not actually. It's very simple. So most people, the biggest animal phobia I get is spiders. And spiders are very fast and quick and unpredictable. So any animal that's fast or unpredictable, that's the main reason people are triggered by these things. It sets off their anxiety because it's uncontrolled movement. It's a survival technique from when we were cavemen, basically. But most of my clients also have other anxiety issues around control and unpredictability. So they don't have very good coping mechanisms around anxiety, especially around unpredictability. So it's a deeper issue, really. So it's one, a survival instinct kicking in that we all have, but some people have unfortunately made it a more, they've been listening to that survival voice too loudly and listening to it. So it's become this ingrained triggered habit. But then two, it's also bad habits built around coping with anxiety as a whole. So my methods are very holistic and not just treating the animal phobia, but how people are addressing anxiety as a whole and breaking those bad habits and building strategies and plans around better anxiety management.
And is it important to kind of get to grips with all of this, the root cause, before trying to move on to the therapy and kind of curing the fear, or are the two not connected necessarily?
Oh, definitely. So my day is kind of split in two. It's a full day workshop, and the first half of the day my clients are learning all sorts of proven phobia fighting techniques that are going to help them far beyond just the animal phobia, but manage their overall anxiety. And they also get education about the animal, but then also education about psychology, the way the brain works, how anxiety is manifested and bad habits around anxiety. And then they're learning new plans and strategies of managing anxiety. And then the second half of the day, we're doing that gentle exposure, because that is the only way to cure an animal fear. You know, some people offer like, oh, just hypnotherapy. But if the brain doesn't actually have a memory of doing something that they didn't think they could do, the survival part of the brain is never going to learn, oh, that's not actually a threat. So it's very important to have that exposure, which is done in a very gentle way, but it only takes a few hours in most cases for the brain to learn, oh, this isn't a threat. And then the brain changes actually quite quickly, because it doesn't want to waste energy on things that are not actual threats.
It is incredible to think that in a day or under a day, I guess, people with a massive fear of spiders are then able to see a spider and even touch a spider.
Yeah. I have people holding them, capture releasing them. And my goal is to get people actually bored of being around spiders by the end of the day. Because you can't really be afraid of something that you're bored of, can you?
No.
So if you have a memory of actually being bored around the trigger animal, it does help change it. And then I give them a plan to manage that anxiety for the long run, because it's very important after they see me that they find a way to kind of expose themselves to that animal as much as possible, to keep on reaffirming that this isn't a threat, at least for the next couple of weeks, if that makes sense.
It's funny.
Yeah, people leave just, you know, very nonchalant and okay with the animal by the end of it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because with things like spiders or cockroaches, things like that, most people, I think, know that they're not going to harm you. You know, I mean, unless you're in certain parts of Australia or whatever, and the spider could be poisonous. But for the most part, certainly in Europe, it's not going to be a poisonous spider, or the cockroach isn't going to kill you. You know, they don't sting you or anything like that. It is, as you say, it's the unpredictability, and it's that kind of quick kind of scurrying. But it's
exactly.
A weird thing if you kind of, you know, make people explain out loud what it actually is that they're scared about. It must be difficult to kind of. People must sound silly going, oh, it walks really quickly or it runs really fast because they can't actually say, oh, it might bite me. Because I understand why people would be afraid of something. You know, it makes more sense to think, oh, you know, that might kill me, that might bite me. That makes sense to be afraid. But to be afraid of something that can't harm you, it must be difficult for it to explain that in a rational way.
Well, it's actually, again, very simple. So, yes, you're quite correct in the sense that I almost never meet any clients that, I mean, it does happen occasionally, but very rarely are there any clients that are actually afraid of, oh, the animal biting or especially with spiders and invertebrates, like, you know, physically being attacked. It's usually more based around the unpredictability and the movement of an animal. And again, this goes back to that caveman survival instinct, because once upon a time, we were animals just like other animals that lived out in the wild. And we are pretty vulnerable if you think about us as a species. You know, we don't have venom or poison, or we can't hear or see or smell as well as other animals. We can't run that fast. We don't have hard shell, etc. So we had to use our intelligence, and we had to just have a mechanism that enabled us to instantly react with our brains. And so that's that phobic reaction, instantly getting us in that fight or flight panic mode. And so that part of our brain, that survival part of our brain, doesn't actually realize that thousands of years have gone by and that we're still actually quite, you know, we've moved on beyond that. We're not in this constant threat of survival. If you think about that caveman, it didn't have time to think, oh, is that spider a highly venomous spider or not?
Yeah, true.
everything was a risk, because one little scratch could get infected and then you're dead. So it's not very, you know, it sounds silly to us in the modern day context, but actually it's not very silly, because it's just our survival instinct kicking in.
Mm.
And people who develop phobias just learned it when they were young. We're not born with animal phobias. We're only born with two fears. That's a fear of falling or loud noises. So it's learned. But obviously it's learned so young, usually, with most people. They don't remember, or they learned it from a parent who's phobic. And so it's just that survival instinct kicking in, trying to protect us unnecessarily, essentially.
And is there anything we can do to help people with phobias? I mean, you know, if people say, oh, it's fine, it's just a spider, or oh, it's not going to hurt you, or any of these kind of normal reactions that I guess people would have, aren't really that helpful, are they? I mean, what can you say, if anything?
Yeah, well, one, come see me. But two,
if you can't
come get to see me, just encourage people to gently expose themselves, I'd say, is the best thing. Because the more you confront, the more you overcome fear. The more you avoid, the more you reinforce fear. So the more you avoid it, you temporary relief. Let's say you're afraid of spiders and there's a spider in your bedroom. So you get someone else to take it out, or you sleep on the sofa. You feel temporary relieved for that moment, but that doesn't solve the problem. It just teaches that survival part of your brain, this is a real threat. And then the next time you see a spider, you feel even worse. So the best thing you can do is start confronting the fear. Okay, there's a spider. It's really difficult. You got to push through the anxiety, but I'm going to look at the spider for a little bit now. I'm going to watch it move. I'm not going to run away. You have to start doing something different to start teaching and showing that survival part of your brain that it's no longer a threat. And so we can just encourage people in a gentle way, not in a cruel way, to start gently exposing ourselves to our trigger.
Yeah. So what's the process with your workshop then, when you do expose them to a spider at the end of the day?
So first thing I do is I work with house spiders because they're a very safe species and they're also very tolerant. It seems no matter what you do, you poke them or prod them, they put up with anything. They're also big and fast. That's the main spider that everyone gets triggered by anyway. So they're a perfect therapy animal. We start out with a house spider in a clear plastic box and we kind of watch it in the box. And just some people have to start outside of the room and slowly inch their way forward. Some people can immediately sit down and look at the box. And eventually that first stage, you know, we want people to pick up the box and look at the spider. And then we practice watching the spider move around in a bigger box that's open, like a Tupperware. So because movement is a big trigger. So we get them used to the movement of the spider. And then I like to go, if possible, into the handling, because that's the worst case scenario for spider phobics. And if you hold that animal, it's like, it's the best moment. As soon as someone holds that house spider, you just see something like a cloud removed from their eyes. Like, oh, this is not a threat. And some of them are even laughing and crying in that moment. I can't believe I just did this. And everything changes and the brain starts changing very quickly. And then we go on to like capture releasing in the bathroom and all sorts of things. But that part of the therapy is really easy after you've held the spider. So I try to get that part done as soon as we can. And just encouraging my clients to take action. Don't overthink it. Just take action. And then you save yourself a lot of pain. Yeah. It's that hesitation that really builds up the anxiety. And as soon as you take action, the anxiety starts dissipating and the myth and the fear of an illusion, I should say, of danger is dispelled. And the brain starts understanding very quickly, oh, this isn't a threat.
Yeah. Gosh, it must be, you must get a real reaction from people who have, you know, been really scared of spiders their whole lives. And then suddenly they're holding one. It must be really overwhelming for people.
Yeah, it is. It's a lovely experience. I absolutely love what I do because people don't have a spider phobia or animal phobia. They don't understand just how debilitating it is, especially in animals like spiders, which are everywhere and can appear everywhere. And it just means these people are constantly living in stress and anxiety and fear. They're not traveling to places they want. They're not sleeping properly. You know, it's ruining relationships. It causes so many problems. And to finally realize like, oh, I can be free of this. This is amazing. My whole life has changed. And it's also a huge convincer that they can change other things in their life. You know, if that was their biggest fear and they overcame it, then how many other anxiety trigger points can also be overcome? So it's such a, you know, revolutionary moment for these people. And it's emotional and amazing and happy and wonderful. And yeah, it's a great part of what I do.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, if people want to get in touch, if they've got any questions, their website is creaturecourage.com. And so spiders obviously are the most common phobia that people have. Have you had people coming to you with some really kind of different, unusual animal phobias that you thought, okay, yeah, never had that before?
I think the weirdest one I did was lobster.
Wow, okay.
And like, why lobster? Most people don't see lobster, but oh, this person was a marine biologist.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's awkward.
But yeah, I've also treated dogs, cats, rodents, lizards, bees is quite a big one, snakes. So all sorts of animals.
And each time do you try and do the immersion therapy part?
Oh yes. Yeah. Wherever possible, I'm doing the immersion. I'll go to great lengths for my customers to get that exposure because that's what they need. And that's, you know, surprisingly not enough therapists are doing this. I seem to be like one of the only people. I get people traveling to see me internationally.
Wow.
Because there's just it doesn't seem like all over the world there's not a lot of people doing what I do. So it's that combination of like intense therapy course of learning all these anxiety fighting techniques coupled with the exposure therapy in this like this one day session. I don't think breaking it up over several days is very useful. I think trying to get the core of it done in just one day, because it's like a new mindset then coupled with a new action is really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, you see it with them varying success in the jungle in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You have people going in with fears of spiders or snakes and things like that, and then they're put on a trial where they're locked in a room underground with a load of snakes in. And it normally has a really kind of positive effect. You know, they think, oh no, this, you know, when they're going into it, they're like, oh, this is my worst nightmare. This is horrible. This is going to be horrendous. And sometimes when they're in the experience, they're screaming or, you know, making noises, but then they come out the other side and most of the time go, that actually wasn't so bad. I think I've conquered my fear of snakes. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at first they'll feel the anxiety spike, but then fear quickly turns to fascination. Fear and fascination are connected to the same part of the brain. So like a coin, it's really easy to flip it around. It's exposure therapy is so important. And I'm also very passionate about animals, especially animals that most people don't like spiders. So that also makes me a very effective therapist, because I love spiders.
Yeah.
And people need to see that genuine like positivity around spiders for once, because even if people don't have a fear of them, most people are like, ugh, whatever, spiders, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, they're the best thing ever.
And what is it about spiders that you love then?
Well, the first thing, I do like how they're the underdogs, but also, I find them beautiful as well, but we couldn't as a human race survive with them. No creature could. They're just as important to everything survival as the bees, and most people don't realize this. Spiders eat between 400 to 800 million tons of insects every year. That's the same if you took every single human being and turned them into a pillar of insects on the planet.
Wow.
And that could even be up to double that amount. And it's like an amount you can't even visualize. I tell my clients, imagine a festival, a sea of people. Imagine each of those people turning into a sea of insects. That's just one festival. But they're eating the whole, you know, they're keeping the balance of insects. Without them, they'd be destroying our crops, in our food, biting our skin. You know, it would be devastation. They're also managing the composition levels and leaves, so the soil gets the right nutrients, because if there's too many bugs eating the leaves, then not enough nutrients gets back into the soil, so just things won't grow. Spiders are incredibly important, and yeah, I just love how unique and strange and weird they are. I'm quite a different person myself. So.
It sounds like we need to appreciate spiders more.
We do. Okay. I'm doing my bit.
You certainly are. Brilliant. Well, if people want to get in touch, Creature Courage is the name of the company. And we've been speaking to its founder, Britton Stelly. Britton, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's been great.